It's Happy Hour again from Uptown New Orleans. Hello, I'm Grant Morris. Happy Hour is part of the family of shows on the podcast network. It's neworleans.com. When you walk into a bar in New Orleans and you pull up a bar stool, you never know who's going to be sitting on either side of you. What you do know is no matter what they look like, what they're wearing, whether they just got out of a limousine or just got out of jail, they're going to be happy to talk to you because that's New Orleans and this is Happy Hour, a cocktail-fueled 60 minutes of random conversation with folks who have nothing in common. Other than we're all New Orleanians in a bar today, we're at the fabulous Wayfair on Ferret Street, which is a restaurant and a bar that serves handcrafted food and spirits where they put fine dining into a sandwich and fine booze into a glass. They have a three-hour happy hour here every day from 4 to 7, and they have an awesome brunch on the weekends. Do you know anything about that, Zach?
Yeah, I think it's great. I've gotten here in both a limousine and from jail, and but not today.
Today you got here under your own steam. Zach Smith is here with me today, and so is Julia Sevan, otherwise pronounced Seven, S-E-V-I-N. And our musical guest today is Gandhi Castle, but like Gandhi, they're not here.
M-I-A.
What happened to Gandhi? Gandhi got assassinated, right? Did he?
I feel like I should know the answer to that. I'm sorry.
Don't we know that what happened to Gandhi?
Let's say yes.
I think he got shot.
Yes.
Pretty much everyone.
We're getting an answer from Chris, yes.
Chris says, Chris knows what's going on. Chris says he got shot. Okay, so I think what happened to Gandhi Castle is they got killed on the way here today.
That's sad.
I know, it's awful because they were such a great band. I'll tell you something about them. They were formed in, I don't know, like, screw that. If they show up, I'll tell you all about them. But anyway, I don't know where they are. They usually, most of these bands show up here for the show, so hopefully they will. If they don't show up, then what we're going to do is we're going to switch gears and we're going to have you play a drum solo.
That's fine. Actually, Motley Crue was just in town, and Tommy Lee left me his roller coaster drum set that turns around and stuff.
Have that.
I have
okay.
it in the truck.
Oh, nice. It just takes me. Go get that. Take you like 5 hours to assemble.
Takes me
it.
About seven union workers and about 6 hours to set
okay,
up.
Okay, awesome.
So I should make a call right now.
Okay. We'll see if you. Yeah, we'll just text someone. Zach is a drummer in Rotary Downs. Did you know that, Julia?
I didn't.
He's an awesome drummer and awesome photographer.
Thank you.
There are a lot of people in New Orleans have two things that they can do.
You got your profession and your hustle, and you can have multiple spokes of the hustle, multiple spokes of the profession. Sometimes they overlap. Sometimes those in your professional world don't know your hustle world, vice versa. Sometimes they're the same thing. But most New Orleanians have a hustle.
What did you start out with? Did you start out with the photography or as a musician?
I wouldn't call out what I started as a musician. It was a
well, I know you're a drummer. I know there's a lot of jokes about you. Know,
yeah, you know, like my favorite drummer joke is the how do you know a stage is level?
Okay,
there's drool coming out of both sides of the drummer's mouth.
Okay, that's good. What do you call a drummer? A guy who likes to hang out with musicians.
That's pretty good. Yeah,
that's another.
Those are the only clean drummer jokes we can say on air.
You don't have, we have no FCC to worry about here. You can say anything you like on this show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do you have any dirty drummer jokes? I didn't know there was such a thing.
Julie,
are you up with that?
Oh, I don't hang out with a lot of musicians.
I'm not going
to. Hate drummers.
I'm not going to down.
You hate drummers.
I'm not going to downplay my kind. I'm not the. You need the drummer. You need the timekeeper. As Johnny Vodakovich said, we're the policemen of the band.
Okay, well, that's good. He's an interesting drummer.
He is. The interesting human being.
What came first with you, though? Drumming or
drumming. Drumming, so for sure, when I was 14, 15 years old.
It's like caveman.
Totally. Yabba yabba. Some friends of mine were just having a band one day, and they said, "Oh, Zach, you're the drummer." And
this is here in New Orleans.
This is in Lafayette.
You grew up in Lafayette.
I did.
Hey, you know. So did Allison, our photographer.
Oh yeah, I know Allison. Hey,
that's funny because she's a photographer, and you're a photographer, and you're from Lafayette, and she's from Lafayette.
It's a small world. Allison actually took one of my photography workshops.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, a few months ago.
So you teach photography at the Academy of Fine Art.
I teach at the
Magazine
Academy
Street.
Of Fine Art since around 2002, and since 2012, I've started my own workshop series called Zach Smith Photography Workshops.
At the Academy of Fine Art?
No, this is all my own.
Oh,
this is where we
well,
a lot of my workshops are hands-on workshops, so long exposure nighttime photography. We do environmental portrait photography using strobes and natural light, basically teaching the things that I do professionally. So you can kind of call it a hustle, I guess, but a more professional hustle.
Okay. So people, do you take a class outside or somewhere, wherever photos are taken?
Yeah. Two of my classes I'm offering now, one of my classes is called Studio on the Go. G-E-A-U-X.
I just knew that was coming.
And one is taught on the North Shore at a 100-year-old home on the banks of the Bogafly River with professional models and lighting. And one is taught
professional models. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
And what does that look like? That's like a porno shoot?
Well, no, it's actually people who know what they look like and know when they move what's happening.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So when you say professional models, it's not the same thing you see on Craigslist.
Not the same thing you have in your
models.
Mind.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Okay. It's not naked men and women.
It's not. The other class we do have is in the city. So, you know, people are more likely to do that in the country. But in the city, we have one, a partnership that we have with Salon de Beaumont on St. Charles, where there's professional models, professional hair stylists, and I get my assistants that I work with to be the assistant for each small group of budding photographers.
So you're a wannabe photographer or a student photographer, and you get an actual assistant.
You get an assistant.
Who knows what they're doing?
You get me to come around and help with direction. You get a professional model and stylist to help you. You basically, we're creating a team. A creative team.
So you're learning how to take a photo in a professional setting.
From the ground up.
So what does a photographer's assistant do, and how do I get a job like that?
It depends. I got...
Will they make you coffee or and stuff like that? Or
no.
Move lights around?
No, yeah. There's one assistant that will be a lighting assistant, which will move lights, set lights. There will be one that will help with the talent, either go button a shirt or help someone with something.
Sure,
or
you can do that.
Just the more finesse type things, maybe see something that I'm not seeing and make a suggestion. But right now, for the types of shoots I do locally, the budgets that I'm working with only afford me to put in there about maybe one or two assistants. So the people that I have pretty much can do everything.
So what sort of a suggestion would you make? I mean, I just, like most people, take my phone and shoot something and it looks like shit, and I go, oh, well, I guess that's good
enough
to put on
Facebook.
What are
you trying to do? What is your goal with that image? What are you trying
to
do?
Well, I was wondering if somebody was going to tell me something. If they're your assistant, what do they tell you? Like,
Do you see that hair going across the person's eye?
Ah, okay.
And do you see... Because I'm trying to picture from corner to corner in my composition the background, the depth, the clouds, the people, how they fit in and tell that story that my client hired me to tell visually. There's a lot of little things that I don't see that are happening in there.
Since we have an assistant.
Exactly. Okay. You're kind of be your eyes and ears. Zach, there's a car coming, and it's going to hit you if you don't move.
Well, that would be a good thing to know.
That's great.
So you'd have to have the courage to speak up.
Yeah, and you know what? They don't get paid enough, my
How
assistants.
Much do you pay them?
It varies on the job.
Julie, what do you think? Are you up for a job?
$5, pay them in drinks.
It's like tips.
It all
$1,000, I don't know.
It all depends.
I'd love
I usually don't like to throw around numbers without a proper
without a
bid
context.
Proposal.
Yeah, yes. Okay. Julie, do you have an assistant?
I have a secretary.
You do? Okay. I would think that would be regarded in the category of assistants.
No, yeah. I have... So the thing I do most of my time right now is operate as president of the New Orleans chapter of AIGA.
Alcoholics International... G.
AIGA is the Professional Association for Design, and we're a nationwide organization of 27,000 designers across 70 chapters in the U.S. and a new chapter in the Middle East. At the local level, we have...
Hang on, you have to slow down. 27,000.
That's correct.
Designers.
And that's only the paying members. We have, you know, closer to 500,000 people who are interested who identify as designers.
Wow, and that's you in the Middle East, too.
Minded,
is that like
including
Ohio?
The I believe they're based in Tehran, which I think is really interesting. And I've seen some videos of their meetups, and it's beautiful to see. Yes.
I didn't think we were even allowed to do business with anybody in Tehran legally.
Well, I think
that's
on
in
this
Iran, right?
Yes. And
just
I think
to straighten that out.
On this volunteer
that's
level,
totally
I think you
illegal.
Can do what you want. We're designers without borders, I guess.
Oh, that's interesting. Designers without borders. Hey, so there's 500,000 people who identify as designers, and only 27,000 of them actually pay up. It's a cheap set of
well,
people.
Well, 500,000 is an estimate based on, you know, who we have as followers on social media.
You have 500,000 people. What social media am I going to there?
Oh, well, if you go to the at AIGA Design Twitter account, that has a...
You have to speak much slower than this.
AIGA Design.
Have you smoked pot?
No.
Never.
Were you going to suggest
not
that she does?
Not today.
This would be a good time to start. So we need to slow it down to the speed that the rest of us
sound like
are going
my mother. You should smoke more pot, Julia.
Yeah, your mom's a big pot smoker,
okay,
right?
Okay, I'll slow down.
Yeah,
yes, she is.
Yeah, she called me earlier today and asked me if I had any weed, actually. Where does she live, your mom?
She lives in Oregon and California. She goes
Oregon
back and
Oregon and California.
Yes.
That's two good
she
weed
could
spots.
She could get
she's
you
a
some
setter.
Weed.
Yes.
She wants to send me some weed.
I know. Growing up, she was baffled by people who had to pay for it because she was friends with so many people who grew it that it was just handed to her. She never had to purchase.
Is she good looking? Because that helps. If you're a good looking woman, you don't normally have to buy drugs.
Well, I think she would mostly get it from friends. I don't think. What do they call it? A strawberry? Isn't that when a woman trades sex for drugs?
Oh, honestly, I never knew that. But
yes.
I'm writing that
and
down
look,
as well.
She was not that.
That
definitely
down
not.
Right now.
I've never heard that term. Strawberry means a woman who will have sex with you if you give her drugs.
Correct.
Okay. Have you ever heard that, Allison? No. Chris? No, no one's heard that term. Where'd that come from?
I don't.
Where did you grow up? One of those places, Oregon or California?
Yeah, I grew up in California, Northern California, in the Emerald Triangle, Mendocino.
Here's Christian. Oh, he just disappeared. Hang on a sec. I'll call him back. Because he's the guy who books the music
he
on
said
the
show. The FCC called.
No, this is the, this is the guy who books Gandhi Castle.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see. This is our... This
Gandhi's walking around in the desert.
Yeah, so we'll see what he has to say about that. Anyway, where did you grow up, Julie?
Huh?
Hey, Christian?
Yeah.
Okay, so what happened to Gandhi Castle?
Huh?
Hello? What happened to Gandhi Castle?
They didn't show up?
No, they're not here. And you're actually on Happy Hour. So
probably called. I'll find out. I don't know what I could have done to botch it because they were so gung-ho. I must have...
I saw the email that said exactly where they were supposed to go and what time they were supposed to come here at. So you're talking to Zach Smith and Julius Savant as well. This is Christian Unruh who books our music.
You messed up, buddy.
Hey, looks like I screwed up. I don't know whether or not...
I don't blame you on this one.
I'll have to where I went wrong, and maybe I...
It's Wednesday. We record the show on a Wednesday. That could be a bit of a mix-up. Maybe
they're coming
maybe
tomorrow.
Maybe they got a different day. Yeah, maybe...
Or today.
We were dealing with the date, so...
I don't know what the date is today, technically, either.
The
it's
ninth.
A 9th.
I guess is that I might have actually sent them an old file that had one of the other places on it.
Maybe they went to Casa Borrega, where we used to go before we stopped going there, and we came here to Wayfair. Okay, well, see if you can figure out what happened, and if they show up in the next, you know, few minutes, we can deal them in still.
All right, let me pull over and try to find out.
Okay. All right. Okay. Later. Okay. Bye. All right. So there's that. That's what happened to Gandhi Castle. I'm pretty sure I didn't read those emails that closely, but Christian books all these musicians, and normally they do show up, so there's a fair chance they'll show up.
Might be just a misunderstanding. That happens.
Yeah. Well, I must say, I couldn't find one single thing about them online, not even one entry on the World Wide Web. So,
well,
except they have a Facebook page.
Gandhi didn't have a website when he was
and
doing his
him.
Thing. And look
he's
at the
a household fucking
look,
man.
Look at the effect that he had. You know?
He doesn't show up for meetings anymore either, though.
No,
we don't know.
He doesn't.
We
he doesn't
don't know. Maybe
to.
He's here. Maybe his spirit is here, and that's what's moving us.
Maybe he's right in that chair. We just don't see him.
Oh, my goodness. So, Julie, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Mendocino, which is a small
Mendocino.
Coastal town in Northern California.
God, that sounds romantic.
Beautiful
yes,
up there.
Yes, it really is. My grandfather moved up there in the 50s to form sort of an artist's hamlet or an artist community.
He played Hamlet?
Well, he did found a theater as well, and he played
did.
A lot of roles in the theater. So perhaps he did at some point. Well, he was in his 40s by then, so maybe not Hamlet.
Well, I don't
but
think people use the word Hamlet here. I mean, I know what you mean. It's a small town.
Well, it was the population was 1,000 people, but only about maybe 300 really lived in town. Very small.
It's almost like the AIGA
like
website. I mean, social media. Yeah.
Here.
Only 300 people lived there, but they had a population of 1,000. How do you figure
well,
that?
Because there was the actual village, and then on the other side of the highway, there are sort of hills and forests that people live in as well.
Yeah, when you say the word highway, it kind of blows the whole thing. But anyway, there was a highway running through this beautiful, idyllic,
right on the,
bucolic
right on the
hamlet.
Right on the border. Highway 1. If you take Highway 1 up
okay.
the coast of California, it's the most dangerous and nauseating drive you can take.
But
you
a
feel
pretty
like you're
drive.
Gonna. It's beautiful. You feel like you'll roll off the cliff, but it is a beautiful drive.
So where are we when we get to Mendocino? How far between LA and San Francisco?
It's north of San Francisco.
Oh, it's
about
past San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Oh,
you're
it's
closer
northern
to
California.
Portland.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So it's about 3 hours north of San Francisco in and the redwoods, in the fog, and...
what was the name of the hamlet?
Mendocino.
Oh, that was the original.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It was
your
founded
grandfather
in the
founded Mendocino.
No. It was originally...
Zach, isn't that what she said?
No.
And I'm not even fucked
Sorry.
Up at all.
I can't go there.
So are he, you, you did say
I'll
that.
I'll back up. It was founded in, I believe, the early 1800s or 1830s,
okay,
maybe.
Okay, just go back to what you said.
Your grandfather got
well,
there
let me
in the
start,
50s.
Let me go in the
yeah,
40.
But he founded yes. a hamlet.
He founded an artist's community.
Not an
and it sort of
town.
Reshaped the entire town because it had been this fishing and logging village with a lot of Norwegian and Portuguese and Chinese immigrants who had been doing work for the mill and fishing.
That sounds pretty cool.
But that
what was the food scene like there, I wonder?
At the time, I think a lot of mussels and salmon.
And Portuguese?
As it still is now.
What do the Portuguese eat?
Mussels and semen?
Salmon.
Oh, salmon. I thought you had people on boats out there. Okay.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
What?
So the mill closed down.
The mill closed down?
Yeah, so the town was sort of, the population was sort of stagnating, and my grandfather moved there in the 50s, and then in the 70s, it had blossomed enough as this artist's community that they passed legislation for the town somehow that they founded a historical review board, so you couldn't make any changes to buildings without the approval of this review board. So therefore, it really got frozen in this sort of late 1800s farmhouse.
Hang on a sec. When did they pass that historical preservation?
Early 70s, but it hadn't been developed.
The 1970s.
Correct, but it hadn't
it
really...
It hasn't changed all that
It hadn't
time.
Changed because it had been stagnating since the late 1800s. It hadn't,
like the
it
quarter.
Hadn't grown.
Like you yeah. can't build anything
You
okay.
can't build or change anything. You can't paint your building a certain color.
So this
you know.
Place hadn't changed since the 1800s and
Correct.
It's on the seaside.
It's on the seaside and that's
Mendocino.
Why... if you wow. ever watch the show Murder, She Wrote,
yeah.
the town of Cabot Cove, which is supposed to be in New England, it was all filmed in Mendocino. Because okay. it has these, New England architectural features, and it's very,
wow.
very classic and old feeling.
Didn't know that.
And
How
it's been, yeah, Mendocino's been the site of a lot of different movies. One of the Body Snatchers film or Invasion of the Body Snatch? No, mm-hmm. which one? I'm not into that one as much.
Amazing movie.
Many, many movies.
And this is where you grew up?
Yes.
And were they shooting movies there when you grew up there?
Yeah, I was in a movie which you will not have heard of called Pontiac Moon, and I ended up on the cutting room floor.
Looking it up.
you won't see me
in
it. I played a brownie, I think, sitting on the schoolhouse steps. I was in seventh grade, and it had Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen. Who
they
he,
were a couple, I think.
Yeah, they
point.
Were, and they wow. lived in town at the time, which I think is why
they
filmed
lived
it there.
There.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that must
Christopher
be.
Lloyd lived there for a little
this
while.
This is good stuff.
Christopher Lloyd was in Return to the Future or whatever that's called. Back,
Back
to the
Future.
Back
yes.
to the Future. Okay, so did you know these people growing up?
No, but I knew a couple of.
But did you see them?
I knew a lot of relatives of celebrities. I knew Donna Reed's niece.
Okay, I'm writing that down. Donna Reed's niece.
Groucho Marx's daughter.
Groucho Marx's daughter.
And Mia Farrow's nieces.
Oh, now we're getting some.
Now we're getting juicy.
Now that's, yeah. Groucho Marx's daughter, I'm writing all these down, and Mia Farrow's nieces. Okay, so should we go through them one at a time?
No.
Who was Donna Reed, anyway?
Donna Reed was Mary in It's a Wonderful Life, among other
was
roles.
Was she really?
Yes.
Wow.
And her niece has just, she's very young, and she's just now had her first child and gotten married.
Didn't
and
Donna Reed have a show,
she's
too?
She's the nicest person I know. She did. I know that was what she's considered to be more famous for, but I've only seen her in It's a Wonderful Life.
Hmm. Well, that's a classic, obviously, a classic American movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Mm-hmm. And
well,
that was,
you know, I've learned more about this movie recently,
okay.
and apparently it wasn't considered a classic until the 80s. It was a box office failure. It did not make its money back, and it was considered forgotten until VHS, and it suddenly became something that they would put on syndication over the holidays. I know this because
wow.
I am actually, I've been cast in the NOLA Voice Talents annual production of It's a Wonderful Life, which they do, it's a benefit that they do as a fundraiser for local arts organizations. They're doing that on December 20th. I'm not playing Mary, I'm playing Violet Bick, who is the, what's a nice way to say it? She's
you don't have to find
the,
a nice way
the
to
town
say it,
temptress. She's like this. She's kind of like a.
She's in the bit where that's the town's gone to hell.
She is in that bit, but she's also in earlier scenes as a girl who's maybe on the edge.
Okay, see, I never liked that movie. Did you ever like the movie? I thought it was ridiculous.
I've seen it a few times, you
it's
know,
so
here and there.
Stupid.
One of my favorite movies that's been revived from VHS and is now a classic is Clash of the Titans.
Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, man. They showed on TBS all the time, you know, around the fall.
Now, Clash of the Titans has...
The original one with Calabos with the tail and the really bad graphics of, like, the stop-motion stuff with Medusa.
And the skeletons? That's Jason and the Argonauts.
Yes. Mm. This is the one...
What's Clash of the Titans about?
Well, Hercules? Or it's one of those guys has to go do all these different tasks to rescue a maiden who gets... taken by this big bird from her room. He's got to cut the head off of Medusa, who he shows to the Kraken, and the Kraken comes out of the water and freezes and dies.
Okay, this sounds pretty good. Yeah. Here's Christian calling back.
It's Perseus, right?
Perseus.
Now that movie it shows female breasts, doesn't it? There's a scene with a mother nursing or something.
Maybe.
I remember hearing of it as being one of the last PG films that showed.
Oh, really?
Female breasts, because it was sort of at the end of the 70s where you were freer to show those things on film. And then in the 80s,
Christian?
The moral majority started managing the MPAA and saying you can't show any female form at all.
Now you can't. That's horrible.
So what was
that may be why I liked it so much when I was 12.
Like, Christian, what's going on with Gandhi Castle?
Gandhi Castle is getting there promptly when they were told, which is 5 o'clock Eastern time. So that's 4 o'clock. Or 5 o'clock Central time. I don't know. There was a time zone issue.
Are they flying in from the East Coast?
Yeah,
or
this
something?
Is a big gig for them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they're coming from India, maybe. Do you know in India they have the time is off by a half hour? Did you know that?
Indiana. No, both.
Okay, so they're. Okay. Well, this is all your fault. Okay. Well, we'll be interesting to see what they're like when they get here. Are they going to play and everything?
Yeah, I think they're
ready to rock. Okay, all right, Christian. Well, thanks, man. Okay, see you later. Bye. All right, so they're on the way. Okay, so Clash of the Titans was the last film with female breasts.
I don't know if it was the last, but with the PG rating, because the idea being that was totally appropriate for kids until people decided
I've got a stupid question, mm-hmm. but, you know, it might be interesting. How do you know that?
My husband is a film buff.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Your and he's very big in Clash of the Titans. Mm.
Great movie.
That's interesting. I really don't know anything about it. So you've watched Clash of the Titans quite a lot then, I assume.
No. He stays up late and watches movies over and over again, and I go to bed early.
Wow, really?
11 o'clock is considered pretty early
and
in
he
our
stays
house.
Up all night, because he was on our show.
Yes, he was.
He's got some fake name.
Mason James Cole.
He's an author.
Okay.
And he's made that name up completely, yeah, but he told us that he stays up all
MJC.
Night.
MJC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good, great guy.
He stays up all night writing, and you guys have a kid or something.
That's right. We have an 11-year-old.
11?
Yes, and he's very interested in the idea of making films. So sometimes he'll show me a movie, and he's dissecting it. So he'll shout out, like, oh, nice transition, or look, foreshadowing.
Yeah. Wow, okay, pretty good for 11.
That is good.
Hey, so anyway, so you're the president of the AIGA, which has over 500,000 members and only 27,000 of them pay out. You're the president of the New Orleans chapter.
The worst way to phrase it. Well, I'm the president of the New Orleans chapter, which has about 200 members. It's not a job. It's a volunteer position. But it is what I spend the majority of my time doing, because it's what I find I'm most passionate about. At this point, I've been a designer for about 8 years, and I prefer doing this leadership role, organizational stuff, getting sponsorships, planning events. I prefer this a lot more. I prefer it over sitting at a computer and creating a flyer.
What do designers design exactly?
Designers design probably a lot more than you would think they would. Anything that you see that has been created and has any kind of an informational hierarchy or a message that it's trying to convey, there was a designer behind that, whether they identify as a designer or not.
Do they design books?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it would be a publication designer or a layout designer.
Zach has a book coming out.
I've designed probably a dozen books. I've laid out many
really?
Books. Yeah. Oh, yes.
It's actually not a book. It's not a book.
Oh, it's not a book. Hold
it's an exhibit. But let's talk about it.
I thought it was a book.
It possibly could be a good book.
I thought it was going to be like a coffee table book. It's not. It's an exhibit.
You need a secretary to read your emails.
I totally do. Well, these guys, Gandhi Castle, usually do all my reading for me. So it's called My Louisiana Muse, and it's an exhibit that's going to be at the...
The Jazz and Heritage Gallery on 1205 North Rampart, right at Governor Nichols.
Okay, and if you're listening to the show anytime around about the 12th of September 2015, which is a few days away only.
Yeah,
but people listen to this thing all
right upon us.
Yeah, but people listen to these shows all back and forth for, you know, years. So if it's around about September 2015, after the 12th, how long will the show be up for?
Yeah, the show will be up till October 7th. But right now, the concept, the idea, the images live online. And at my website, zachsmith.photography, you can find an easy link.
Photography?
Mm-hmm. You can find a link to my Louisiana Muse. Well, you can do zachsmith.com as well.
Yeah, just like over that.
I just thought it was cool to
It is cool, but that's a whole... You have to write the whole word photography after the dot?
You do, but you do it once, and then it's your favorite website, and your browser saves it for you.
I didn't know there was a dot photography. Is there dot gynecology and stuff?
I'm a pioneer. I'm like the Lewis and Clark of website.
You can't make up domains, your own domain name, though, can you?
Somebody did, and someone else told me about it, and I bought it.
Wow, dot photography. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good idea, because your company is called, I suppose, Zach Smith Photography, is it?
Zach Smith Photography,
so
yes.
So now Zach Smith dot photography, or ZachSmith.com, which is easy to remember. Mm-hmm. And so you have all these photos up.
Yeah,
there.
Basically the My Louisiana Muse project is is one part of, as we were talking about workshops earlier, so I do a lot of commercial and advertising photography. I do a lot of workshops, but I also do fine artwork, which is more of my, which feeds my soul, my visual storytelling, where I've taken 14 Louisiana artists and figured out the questions to ask them to know where they get their inspiration from and how that deals with Louisiana and the land. So, through images and through stories on this website and at the show at the Jazz and Heritage Gallery, I've tried to paint that picture of why and where Louisiana artists are inspired.
So you follow these people home or to their place of inspiration, not necessarily their home, but somewhere in the state. Mm-hmm. That inspires them.
Well, what I've done, I had a series of 10 questions that I sent to 14 artists that I respected, looked up to, and wanted to learn more about.
Right.
And also that I felt that the world needed to know more about.
Okay.
And I asked them questions such as, the softball questions like, where are you from? What do you do?
That's two questions kind of the stuff right you've there.
Been, kind of the stuff we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like getting into
you
them.
Wasted, but you wasted two questions with what's your name and where are you from? Or
right.
Something?
Yeah, but you want to ease into the interview. You want to ease
you've
into
only got
the
eight
questions.
Left.
Oh, yeah, but by number 4 and 5, we're rocking.
We're into it. Okay.
We're both bawling, crying. We've got the Kleenex out. Yeah, it's
what's number 3 and 4 then?
In no particular order, is what is your medium?
That's
and
another
also
easy one you could answer with before. Do you want to ask questions you know the answer to, or do you want to ask questions you don't
know
the answer to?
Well, I ask the questions that I know the answer to, but talking to an artist, I only know about them and what they put out. As an artist, your inspiration, your medium can change depending on what you're seeing. So I've got to figure out where these artists are at right now.
Hang on a second. Medium means... Like
the tools,
you're a photographer,
you have.
And you're a designer. Your stuff is on paper. Your medium is paper, say, and your medium is prints or photography, online or whatever.
Yeah, my medium could be prints. My medium could be a workshop, could be a camera. It's the way I deliver the message.
Okay, so I thought the medium was the format was
like
the piece of paper. Yeah,
the piece of paper.
It's not. Or the TV or TV or film.
Well,
or radio.
You think about it. Photography. It's so broad. We could talk about photography.
Dot photography.
And I could be a commercial photographer and never make a print. You know, so if you think I'm a photographer, I want to tell you that, yeah, I'm a photographer and my clients' work exists online, but what I really do care about is the print.
Yeah, hey, look, here's a beautiful print.
Because the proof is in the print. And this is actually one of the images, the way that it starts with the bromoil process, which is the process that I'm using for my Louisiana Muse.
Bromoil. That's
bromoil.
Your medium.
It's for this project. Yeah.
That could be a good name for your next record for Rotary Downs. Bromoil is my medium.
Or, yeah, dot, dot, dot is my medium.
Dot photography. What is bromoil? That is a great photo of an old Zydeco accordion.
So
is
this
that,
is a Goldman
is that
Thibodeau.
Buzu or something?
Goldman Thibodeau. Yeah, so this is that same image.
Look at that.
Bleached.
Okay.
What I do is I bleach the emulsion, the ink from the image.
Yeah.
And I re-ink the emulsion with lithography inks, where I can take a traditional black and white image and put color into it. I know your listening audience is saying,
"What the fuck,
Zach?
Is
this is radio."
About?
Yeah, but yeah. You can go to ZachSmith.photography and go to the My Louisiana Muse section and see exactly what I'm talking about with my blog that I regularly update.
Okay, so but the process is you take a photo, you bleach all the color out of it. It was black and white. It started out in black and white, and you bleach the color out, and then you replace that with. When you say lithography, that's actual brush strokes?
I apply, there's a few ways you can apply the ink. You can apply the ink by brushes, a hog hair brush, is called a dapple effect, or a roller.
Okay.
I do a combination of both, and then I move around the ink with saran wrap, erasers, my finger, paper towels.
So you're like a painter.
Yeah, it's like you're painting, and in the essence, I'm using this new technique to tell a different and deeper layer of the story about Louisiana artists.
That is really super cool.
Yeah, man.
And that's
Thank
a beautiful
you.
Looking thing. So you've actually, it's a painting. It's a photo and a painting.
Yes.
Hey, look who's here. Gandhi.
Enlighten us, Gandhi.
Gandhi, asshole. Just like I pictured him. Zach, that is cool. So Zach Smith... .photography or ZachSmith.com.
Yeah, well, however, Zach however you're feeling.
ZachSmithPhotography.com. Or just Google Zach, Z-A-C-H. Hey, Jeremy.
Z-A-C-K.
This is Jeremy Marx, you guys. Come on in. Are you related to Groucho Marx, Jeremy?
No relation.
Because we
have
someone that
Julia.
Knows.
Julia knows Groucho Marx's daughter.
Nice to meet you guys.
Hey, Jeremy, nice to meet you. Thanks for showing up.
Thank you.
Nice of you to show up. Put on a pair of headphones.
I think that's yours.
Yeah, and Jeremy, I'm Grant.
Nice to
Pleased
meet you,
to
Grant.
Meet you.
Hey, Jeremy, I'm Zach.
This is
nice
Zach.
To meet you.
Nice to meet you guys.
And this is Julia. That's Hi, Allison, our photographer.
Hey, Allison.
And Chris back here. And so thanks for showing up. So we talked to Christian. We had Christian on the show, and he told us that he screwed up, he said. He told you the wrong time or something?
Yeah, he told me 5. And I told him, apparently it was 4. He told me 5.
He told you 5.
Maybe he was thinking
he
Eastern
books the show.
Time.
You know, this is like our 3rd or 4th year, or I don't even know what year it is we've been doing
Does
this
he
show.
Live on the East Coast?
He spent a lot of time traveling. Yeah. I will say that.
Maybe he's watching Colbert last night.
That's what did it?
Yeah, Eastern time.
Well, you never know, yeah. Well, I'm sorry that he screwed you up like that.
No,
you made
cool,
it just
cool,
in time.
But, you know, I live down the street.
Oh, my God.
So
you could have walked here.
I did walk
You did
here.
Walk here.
Yeah. It was pretty much just a matter of walking my normal pace, New Orleans pace, or fast.
But just you needed to know the right time.
Well, we're from, the band has actually moved here from Boston, so... You know, we know how to hustle. We know how to hustle.
All right.
Walk fast.
Well, I'm glad you moved here.
Yeah, it's great.
We've got a lot of questions for you that we've come up with in your absence.
Excellent.
What's your name?
I'm Jeremy Marx.
What's your medium?
My medium, I'm a guitarist.
Zach, what's the next question?
Guitarist and a singer.
Okay, next
and,
question.
In your history of using the guitar as your way to spread your songs, your message and whatnot, What subject matter do you find that most connects you to the song?
I follow current events and news and politics really closely, and I feel like in some respect, like if you're absorbing like you know what's going on in the world, what's going on around you, I feel like it has to influence your songwriting.
I wasn't expecting that answer at all.
Also just like relationships with people.
That's more standard, right?
Yeah, I know it is more standard, but I mean there are good songs out there about the same experience with like a significant other or whatever, and it kind of lends itself to you know kind of the same story but with different circumstances surrounding it, and then lyrically that'll kind of start to lend itself to a lot of cliches and a lot of repetition. That's kind of not something I really like to hear.
There's only so many ways you can say I want to fuck you or I love you or you broke
my
heart or whatever, but people seem to keep doing it.
It's the same thing in it with a different accent.
I like hearing it, you know, in new ways too. I mean, I like some people write great songs about that kind of thing. I just kind of try to find, I guess, some aspect of a relationship or, you know, with just some other person or some event.
Right. Well, we were talking before you got here about the art of asking questions and what questions you can ask, because Zach's been working on a project where he goes around asking artists 10 questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 3 were what's your name and what's your medium, and then I think the third, well, the second one was I missed one out or something. How tall are you?
Yeah, yeah. What you, color are your eyes?
Yeah, what's your something favorite? Dumb. Who's your favorite Beatle? Yeah. That's
well,
question number four.
I mean, since we're on the radio, I can say I'm 6'4".
Yep. You are 6'4".
Yeah. And everyone at the table can attest to that. I walked
We're actually
in.
Looking up to you right now.
Yeah. Strapping.
You're a great-looking guy.
Towering over everyone that
so,
I walked by.
So you moved here from Boston. So what's our next question? So anyway, that's most people's songs in this singer-songwriter business are not informed by current events. That's very unusual, I would think, except for like Bob Dylan, maybe.
Well, also, I think it's all... I love the singer-songwriter genre. I don't know if that's really... Like, Gandhi Castle, I don't really think falls into that genre. I mean, the band itself, you know, like, I'm by myself now representing the band.
Where's the rest of the castle? They're back at the pad there?
Yeah, they all thought it was 5'2", but they couldn't get off the couch as fast as I could, you know?
Weed smokers.
Yeah.
So,
only in Colorado and Washington, but, you know,
it lingers.
So you're probably the guy that... books the gigs. You probably drive a lion's share of the van.
I do a lot of driving.
You probably handle the money after the gig.
Yeah, I handle
some
money. Yeah.
I can tell.
Well, I guess that would imply there is money, though. So,
wait, we're not getting paid for this?
Well, I don't know about that. I hope we are. Are we?
I hope you guys are.
I hope we are, too. If we're just doing this for fun, we just pull the plug down and go home.
Yeah.
Well, we got to get free drinks, though. Would you like a free drink?
Maybe
you
after gotta I
have
sing.
A beer or
oh,
something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, afterwards. Oh, well, you're like a professional. You're serious. I'm gonna give Zach one more question, then we're gonna ask you to play something.
Okay.
Yeah, it's something that I've been dying to ask you since you got here.
Okay.
So you know the songs that you write about are current events and things that a lot of people can relate to, and you talk about the band you have. You know, Gandhi Castle. It involves two other guys, so they bring their own influences, inspirations, ideas to the table. Does the music come first, or do the lyrics and the story help write the music? It's a chicken or egg thing. Which one comes first for Gandhi Castle?
I think usually the music. We all met, and we were instrumentalists studying at New England Conservatory. We were studying jazz.
Oh, wow. So you guys are all trained musicians.
Yeah, yeah. We all have jazz performance degrees. And so I think a lot of the inspiration just kind of came from us just listening to rock music. And I think the singing thing really didn't come in till we started writing lyrics to go along with some of these riffs. And also just the fact that, you know, since Gandhi Castle is really tightly collaborative, like, you know, it doesn't matter who comes up with the first, you know, riff or the first lyric, like everyone gets a third of the credit.
Very democratic then.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's just kind of
there's
like,
only three of them, so
yeah. Well,
you've got
an
extra
just,
guy that would be too.
Yeah,
it's,
but also the lyrics. You know, when we think of them, they're subject to a lot of intense scrutiny from the other band members, and we're pretty honest. They're just like, hey, like what you just said. Like, I don't know if that really works. I think it's too cliche. We can find a better way. I don't like it, and you kind of have to, you know, put your own ego at the door.
You got to defend your stuff or the ego?
No, no. You naturally want to defend yourself and take control. I think a lot of artists tend to want to do that. But, I mean, in order to be a band that works efficiently, you can't do that. You have to relinquish creative control to your bandmates.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me better is playing with those guys, you know.
So how do you feel about sitting here with a guitar by yourself?
Oh, I love it, though. You know, like, I love playing solo guitar, and, you know, I like trying to take these songs. And I mean, this is kind of how I also just, like, practice being better, a better band leader for Gandhi Castle by playing
Julie,
by
you get the first question when we come back.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right.
You get the first question for Jeremy Marks from Gandhi Castle.
The ground, sanctify your space. I spirits rule the sounds. Smoke covers your face. The mountains call my name. The desert sound expels me into my final place. Don't waste my time to wonder why you send me away. Pass that thing around. It's how I'd like to end my day. Ceremony will begin. The circle starts to spin. The spirits cannot stay. Give me one more chance. I'll grab your hand and we can dance amongst moonbeams and grace. But I don't waste my time. I wonder why you sent me away. When thoughts collapse and fixtures come batting you, it's starting to break. And the middle might divide the circle into two. We'll stay awake. But when night falls and I can't inspire you to follow my way. Two steps and we took off like blazing birds. Just look forward and make demands without a word. Bow and lean like rows of trees right where we stand. Let's step out and walk a while that understands. Doesn't make me wonder lest I recognize impurity in dirt we work to sympathize. And so can we in socialize beyond this folk. Undoubted minds uncompromised, yet none have spoken.
Jeremy Marks.
Thank you.
From Carnegie Castle. Very nice. What do you call that song?
So that was two songs put together.
It was a medley.
Yeah, it was a medley. And both of those songs are off of our latest EP. So it's pretty much a two-song EP entitled Peyote Rattle.
Peyote Rattle. We got the whole CD.
Yeah. So
Peyote Rattle.
The first song was Peyote Rattle, and the second song was Retainer.
And Peyote Rattle and Retainer. Okay.
Yeah.
They weren't really questions. They were just sort of details. I said, Julia, you could have the first question. Then I'm going to have to get you to play one more thing behind me while I do the these commercials. Can you do that?
Oh, yeah.
Come up with some sort of instrumental thing.
Oh, I got you.
Julia, you get one question. What's it going to be?
Sure. So I wanted to ask you, do you think that getting this degree in jazz performance, you said, whether that was worth it for you, whether you recommend it for people, but I decided you don't seem like the kind of person to make blanket declarative statements about other people's lives, recommendations. So what I would ask is, what kind of a person, what kind of an aspiring performer do you think can benefit from that conservatory experience?
I mean, there's no question that there's a lot of benefits from studying music. Just being around musicians and teachers that are better than you is how you get better. There's a notion that just sitting around and practicing by yourself is the way to do it and learn everything, and you can learn what you learn in school by yourself. And I don't think that's entirely true. I think I would be lying if I said that, everything that I can do.
Well, you can totally lie if it's a bit of story.
Yeah,
I
learned everything from a teacher, from ultimately a music school. I mean, I think today, I would advise anyone to really consider the kind of loans that are involved, paying for a private education involved in music, and oftentimes the lack of financial return you might get on that.
That's a good point. Did you rack up a whole bunch of loans that you now have to pay off playing this kind of music every night?
All three of us had to. I mean, it's a private school.
So how much are you in debt for now, then?
I mean, however much 4 years of tuition is,
well,
I guess.
You would know that. How much is it?
The NEC was most private schools, that they're $30,000 a year or something.
So you're $120,000 on the whole.
I don't really want to go into it. It's a jazz performance degree.
Okay, but even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, what jazz musician made any $120,000 in the last 10 years? Except for the ones whose names we know already.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, that's a tough gig.
I don't
know. $120,000 to make it.
Well, I don't know.
Jazz.
I'm not going to really disclose
your financial
situation. Yeah, my financial situation. Whether it's really high or if it's really low, I don't know.
Well, if it would be convenient for me to interrupt, maybe Grant, I could ask if I could take a
but
minute.
But I
plug.
Will say, I think it's definitely a worthwhile. But
it wouldn't be a worthwhile investment if you spent $120,000, quite frankly.
Well, I don't know
except
about that.
You got a great
education. If you get a good job?
What if you got a gig in a band, if you're really good and you got a gig in a band?
Look, man, most law school students are coming out far more in debt than jazz musicians.
Yeah, but they got a chance at billing at $300 an hour.
Not these days. There's a lot of lawyers.
Really?
There's a lot of lawyers out there.
Yeah, that's true. But you got a chance at it, at least. Even though you to completely delusional, you still think you're going to be a great lawyer or a judge, you're going to make a huge amount of money. You could be a giant famous jazz musician. It is possible.
I mean, anything's possible.
Right. The chances are against it, though. $120,000 in the hole to start with is pretty tough to...
There's a lot of ways to make money in music. I think we're focusing too much on him performing to make that money back. There's sync licensing, there's royalties, there's
you could
film,
do it.
TV commercials, there's teaching.
You teach. I mean, I teach. I enjoy it. It's a great way to make money as an artist. It's also a great way to... I think I learn a lot when I teach too. It kind of it makes me think about what I'm telling people, what I know and how well I really know it, and am I really in a place where I can give people advice. But I think the overarching point is that it's if you're gonna be trying to be an artist full time, it's definitely. I mean, I would. You should think about the financial undertaking of going to school. I mean, every family and every person's different, and
So you would advise someone against being $120,000?
No.
No, you wouldn't. No. You say go for it.
I'd say
spend $120,000.
I'd say think about it. Think about it. And
what side of the argument are you on? You say think about it in a good sense and don't do it, or be warned that this is going to be difficult when you get out. Now you're on the other side of it, or go for it and spend $120,000 because you're going to get a great education and worry about that later. One of those two.
I don't know, man. I feel like I'm running for president or something.
Well,
man,
I think what he said
like
originally about the benefits for how much it can teach you and help you grow. I think he's saying bad musicians need to go to a conservatory. They're the ones who can benefit from.
Well, see, one thing that's really happened with the whole conservatory and the music school and the "you can do it too" attitude is it's created a lot of people that think that, oh, you know, I don't know what I'm doing in my life. Maybe I'll go to music school. They go there and then, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, if I get my training, then I can be a musician. But the bottom line is the people who are going to be musicians are going to be musicians, whether they go to school for it or not. My path, personally, I wouldn't have lasted in a 4-year, like, college doing homework and all that shit. Like, I couldn't do it. I had to focus solely on music. And lucky, you know, my family supported my decision. And, you know, and I think both of my roommates would probably say, though, you know, even though, like, I mean, getting a bachelor's degree, like, for any, you know, sometimes when you tell people, like, oh, I have a jazz performance degree, they might be like, I don't know if you're right for this job, but, you know, like.
You mean if you're applying for a music
job? Yeah, or,
music
or just
job.
Any, you know, you like got to get a job, you got to pay the bills, you know,
right,
man?
So you're talking about applying for a regular job, like a regular 9-to-5 job, and they find out you have a degree in jazz performance?
Yeah, you know, sometimes they give you...
What do people think about someone who has a degree in jazz performance?
I mean, it's obviously, like, you know, I've been in job interviews, and you're just like, oh, you're an unlikely candidate, and I'm just like, yeah, but, you know, like, my whole, you know, day-to-day routine as a musician is essentially problem solving and working with people and
what sort of
dealing
gig
with
applying?
Logistics.
What sort of gigs
are
you applying
like,
for?
Man, I filled out a lot of job applications and
what are you looking
life.
For? Because we could hook you up here. Someone listening to this might have a job.
I'm looking for something. I don't know that, you know, ultimately you just want, I mean, that's one thing I like about teaching is, I mean, and obviously having a degree in music to teach music helps, but, you know, teaching is really anything that's flexible. So you can play your gigs and have time to practice. And,
what about being a music teacher in schools? Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like universities have music school. Music teachers, you know, also most, I will say this, though. Most of my teachers at the New England Conservatory did not get degrees. They were not graduates of music school. They were just musicians.
The people who were teaching you. That's ironic.
So
the school
is.
Of life. They graduated from the school of life.
Did you learn to take photos, Zach, somewhere, or did you just teach yourself on the job?
Yeah,
from apprenticeships.
All of the above. I taught myself how to develop film, but I also mentored with photographers who knew what they were doing, and I also went to different workshops. So.
Right. But you never went to a photography school, like a
formal
education.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, listen, Jeremy, you want to play something in the background there?
Oh,
for
sure.
Me? So I can just read these sponsor messages about the people who made today's show possible. Just anything, a lot of sort of, you know, that's perfect. Today's show is brought to us by Petite Pet Care. If you're going out of town or have $120,000 later, and this is what it's reduced to, playing behind an ad for Petite Pet Care. You can get hold of the folks at Petite Pet Care at PetitePetCare.com, and they'll take care of your pet in his or her own home. For love and care when you're not there, check them out at PetitePetCare.com. Thanks also to Basic Swim and Gym. This is for you, Julie. We can get a full range of fashion swimsuits, workout, and yoga clothes with style. Basic Swim and Gym is on Magazine Street near Jefferson Avenue. And thanks too, to Hangover Destroyer, the only all-natural product medically proven to prevent a hangover. Go to the website, Hangover Destroyer's website, that is. It's called hdestroyer.com. You can write happy hour in the coupon code and get yourself 30% off of Hangover Destroyer. And you too can seize the dawn. And thank you too to unlistednorther.com, the revolutionary new way to buy a house in New Orleans. If you know what you're looking for, you can find your perfect match before it comes on the market. It's the match.com of real estate. It's unlistednorther.com. Jerry Marks from Gandhi Castle. Thank you very much. How did you come up with a name like Gandhi Castle?
Well, our original name was actually Sentry.
Sentry?
Yeah, S-E-N-T-R-Y.
Okay.
And
what was wrong with that? somebody else called Century?
Oh, yeah. Bad, a lot of Century.
Bad SEO choice.
Bad.
Ah,
bad LLC choice. Bad trade. Okay. Bad. Also, I think we kind of grew out of it. You know, like we started the band. So, like, I mean, a little bit of, you know, band history. One of my favorite courses in music school. We started the band kind of playing between the three of us and, you know, just playing at random jazz sessions or whatnot. And then we kind of started realizing that rock music was kind of a common interest for all of us. And so we decided, like, hey, like, let's actually just try doing some of it. Like, let's do it. So we started trying just to play what, you know, our own interpretation of rock music, given you know, how much jazz and free improv music we were playing and studying, and kind of see, like, you know, what came about. And then we named the band Century, and we did like a demo and you know, one other thing. And then when we moved down here, I guess we kind of felt like we needed a fresh start.
Gandhi Castle is a good name, don't you think, guys? Zach?
And there's we're the good. Only Gandhi Castle out there.
Julie, you like it?
I like it.
Design-wise, what would you say they should do for a logo or a poster or something?
Well, I don't think that bands always need a logo. I think what bands need is what I would call a logo type or a word mark, which is just a stylization of the lettering. There's no reason for them to have, like, a funny little icon of, like, a guy in round glasses with a crown on.
Like a robe.
That's a good idea, though, a guy in round glasses with a crown on.
No, but it's not.
It's a stupid idea.
Because branding and logos are all about conveying the personality of the business. With a music act, you want people to just remember the music, and the more you're distracting them with visuals, you're muddying the waters.
Right.
Ah, very interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
She knows her stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, like, the artwork, especially that the bassist Oliver Watkinson, that he does, you know, is kind of a big part of, like, you know, like, the name and, like, you know, if we have an
album. We have to listen to this music, the whole thing, to get the full effect. So where do we find it?
So you go to gandhicastle.bandcamp.com.
Oh, or Jesus, that's too goddamn confusing.
Or you can just go to SoundCloud and look for Gandhi Castle.
Just Google.
Yeah,
why don't you guys have a website?
Most of our internet traffic and, like, people who are buying music, and also people aren't really buying the digital music
anyhow. Well, no one's buying anything.
So we just, like, really needed the best way to stream the music.
Yeah,
and for people
around with the website
who are to stumble upon it. And those kind of mediums are usually the best.
Yeah, you're right. So listen, what is the correct spelling of the word Gandhi?
So this is G-A-N-D-H-I.
Okay, that's what I thought. Chris and I were having a discussion about this before, because I have it both ways on this piece of paper. I've got G-H-A-N-D-I, and then I've got G-A-N-D-H-I.
Yeah.
But it's actually Gandhi.
Yeah.
It's the correct
deceptive
spelling.
I know.
Okay, thanks.
You know,
one
great thing out of this whole thing is I've learned how to spell his name properly.
I can
tell you most people who set up, you know, boards and advertising outside of clubs where we play do not know how to spell his name.
I would think that's a very
Is there a lot of market confusion with the other band that's called Gandhi Castle, but it's spelled G-H?
Those guys didn't go to college at all.
No.
You know, that's what happened.
Those guys are a bunch of fucking losers. You know. They probably went to some sort of LSU or something, right?
Probably.
Is there a music school?
No, they went to law school.
Law school.
Yeah, exactly.
This is how they're making their money back, by ripping off you guys.
Hey, Julius Savant.
Yes.
What are you doing that we should know about in the world out there, with the AIGA world?
Right. Well, AIGA, as the national organization, they have an annual conference called the AIGA Design Conference that takes place at a different city every year. And this year, it's in New Orleans for the first time since 1997.
Jesus, we waited a long time to get to that.
Yes. So from October 8th to 10th, they're taking over the Hyatt Regency. They're going to have a lot of programming within the building. The conference itself, you can register for at AIGA.org. And then as a chapter, as AIGA New Orleans, the host chapter, we have a lot of our own events that we're staging around this conference. A lot of exciting things that you don't have to pay anything for. You can just attend. On Wednesday night, we're having a Dribble meetup. Dribble with 3 B's is a portfolio network for it's a portfolio network for designers. It's show and tell for designers. And they've generously sponsored this party for us at the Little Gem Saloon. So it's 7 p.m. We're going to have a speaker who's a typographer named Nikki Villagomez. She's going to give a lecture about how culture affects typography. It's a very popular lecture that she's given all over the country.
How culture affects typography.
Mm-hmm. So she's going to tailor it to New Orleans. She's using images from the @NolaType Instagram account, and she's going to talk about, you know, the legacy of type in New Orleans and how it's been influenced by New Orleans culture.
How much weed do we have? I mean, is there enough weed in the world to sit through that, do you think?
You know, we're looking for all kinds of sponsors, so if you know somebody, an in-kind sponsor maybe, who'd be willing to put out doses for roughly 200 attendees, we'd love to get in touch with them.
Okay.
On Thursday night, we're hosting...
Do you have any weed, Jeremy, for that?
Probably not enough.
I'm sorry, what?
sounds pretty tough going to me.
On Thursday night, there's going to be an event called the Adobe Creative Jam. Adobe, the software company, is the premier software company for designers. It's really all that 99% of them use, is going to be throwing a gigantic party. We're mostly sure it's going to be at the Joy Theater. They just need to put the final cross the T and dot the I on the contract. But that's going to be a gigantic party where they're going to have a speaker or two, and they're going to have a live design competition between a bunch of different teams in two categories, visual design and motion design. So those people are going to be creating fresh art while everybody's enjoying the party. And then they're going to display the art at the end of the evening for the crowd to judge and pick a favorite from.
And this is free for anyone to just go to?
It's free for anyone to come to.
I'm a big fan of the Creative Cloud. Adobe's got a good thing going. And as a photographer working today, you know, it's a must. You get all your applications in one thing. You're always connected through the cloud. And you can share with your clients and friends.
So let's go to that then. What about it?
Let's go, Grant.
Okay.
Let's just get the date right.
That's at the Joy. What date? This is 2015. Let's get that straight for a start.
That's going to be Thursday, October 9th. October 8th. And then on Friday, October 9th.
What time? So we'll get Christian involved.
That's actually going to be late. That's going to be around 9 p.m.
9 p.m. Central
Eastern time.
Exactly.
just tell me.
Yeah.
We'll and then on October 9th, which is Friday, we're going to have a party in combination with NOLA Tech Week and New Orleans DNA, which, if you don't know it, I recommend everybody go to neworleansdna.com. There's a wonderful guy named Joseph Makos who's got a gigantic collection of print publications
I've
from the past.
I've actually done a portrait of Joseph.
That's right. You
and
took
his collection. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What an interesting guy.
I know he would love to be on the show.
Okay.
Yeah. Get that guy. Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to be throwing a party at the Dragon's Den. We're going to have DJs on three stages.
Is there any actual work?
You know, those designers, man. You know.
Designers do love to drink, and I know for a fact that this conference has sold registrations faster and higher than any conference in recent memory because everybody wants to come to New Orleans to party. So they feel a bit of an obligation to ruin everybody's morning.
Wow.
Every morning.
Well, this is where you need Hangover Destroyer. Go to hdestroyer.com.
hdestroyer.com.
You get a whole bunch of them.
Do you think we could get a coupon code for the conference
attendees? Yeah, yeah. We'll just write in happy hour and get whatever the hell it is, 30% off.
I will let everybody know.
And it totally works, by the way, Hangover Destroyer, in case you're considering trying it. Hey, so listen, is there a lot of pressure on you to make this thing great then? Seeing you're the chapter president here in New Orleans and the whole thing's in New Orleans?
Well, there have only been a couple of really specific expectations that the National Organizing Committee had for this. One of them was studio tours, and then mostly they said, you know, whatever you feel like is the bandwidth for your chapter. And I think I overestimated what our bandwidth was, and that's why I'm kind of doing 80-90% of what needs to be done right now. But I do have some really great colleagues who are sort of program leads for the individual parties, who are taking care of managing most of those details.
Man,
and I'm very excited that our chapter recently brought on a partnership director, which is a euphemism for sponsorship director. He brings in the money. He gets people to write checks for us. So he's bringing in liquor sponsors and beer sponsors, and we're going to make sure we get everybody properly sloshed New Orleans style.
Okay, this is pretty good. This is coming right up.
Mm-hmm. And then the one other thing happening that week is that Zender, the marketing and communications company, is holding a week-long exhibit called Idea Code, which is going to be at Rebellion Bar and Grill. I forget what it's called. Rebellion. It's in the CBD. It's a new restaurant, and they're going to have this week-long exhibit of various projects that Zender has been doing in their Tinker Lab, which they call Z Labs. So it's drawing robots, DataViz, coding. I haven't seen what any of the individual displays are, but they're going to have an opening reception on Monday, October 5th, and then those exhibits will be available throughout the week.
There's a lot of shit going on at this AIGA. So anyway, check it out at AIGA, and that's not even all of it. Is there any more that we want to?
The only other one I really wanted to talk about was the other thing that Joseph Makos is doing for us, which is a print history walking tour, which anybody will be able to access at neworleans.aiga.org. So if they feel like walking around town and using this map to discover this sort of forgotten print history of New Orleans as the South's original hub for print and advertising, they'll be able to sort of walk around and, you know.
This is the, well, actually, that's really cool.
Yeah.
So you can download that on your phone.
It's, well, it's really going to be within the website. So you'll just go to neworleans.aig.org/whatever it is.
neworleans.aiga.org.
You got it.
Okay. We'll have a link to that. We have a link to that on our website as well on the It's New Orleans on the show page, which we'll make sure is there because I can't remember any of this. And a lot of people listen to this, so they're at the gym or they're driving or they're on their bike or, they're asleep. And it's subconscious, so they have no way of doing it. So we'll put the link on our site. That sounds like a lot of great stuff. So this thing, you've been able to listen to that on your phone or something while you're walking around, like a tour?
Well, it's more like a map that you'll be able to open up and look at the different sites and tap on them and read and
see an image of this print history. Is really cool. Well, things have got progressively better in the course of events. We've gone from a shitty idea to a typography lecture to an actual party.
Well, you have to understand, for a designer, a typography lecture is like, that's hot stuff. We're like, oh my God, give it to me.
Wow. Okay. Well, it must be interesting being married to an author then.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a designer bone in him as well. He's done, visuals throughout his life for one reason or another. So I've actually recently brought him onto the AIGA chapter board.
How come you're not wearing a wedding ring, I've just noticed? You're not actually married, or you don't believe in it?
He stopped wearing his, and I just stopped wearing mine. It's sort of uncomfortable. That's a terrible. Okay.
So he started it. He said, I'm not going to wear my wedding ring anymore.
Because he sculpts a lot. He does special effects with a lot of clay and latex, and it makes sense to have his wedding ring off. It's always ripping the hairs off the back of his hands with the latex and
plaster
sticking to his
hands. Talk about side hustle. You guys have got a lot going on over there. Mm-hmm. You live on the West Bank, right?
No, we live in Old Metairie.
Okay. Why did I think you live on the West Bank?
Well, he was a West Bank boy originally.
Oh, but he's from the West Bank, your husband. Okay, that's what it is. Okay, we have to get the hell out of here and make room for paying customers. But thank you so much, everybody, for coming on down here. Jeremy Marks, I'm glad you found it, and sorry about that screw up.
No, it's my pleasure.
Next time we'll have you back. And we get to play the whole EP, though, which is pretty awesome.
You guys get to play the whole EP.
Nice. And Zach Smith has been here, too. You can go and see Zach's exhibition at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation Gallery on Rampart Street.
That's right.
Or you go to zachsmith.photography.
There you go.
Or zachsmith.com, either whichever one you can remember. And Julia Sevan, Sevin, thank you so much for joining us. AIGA.org. We'll find all those free parties in New Orleans. Thanks so much for joining us. That's our show. Our producer is Graham DePonte. Our associate producer and technical director is Chris Kehoe. Christian Unruh booked our music today for sure. We all know that. Our theme music was written by and is being played by Mitch Foreman. If you'd like to be on the show, drop us a line. Our address is on our website, itsneworleans.com, where you can check out many other happy hours you can listen to, along with some other shows we make here at INO Broadcasting. Out to Lunch with Peter Raschuti, live from Commander's Palace. True to the Game with Chris True. Midnight Menu Plus One with Margot Moss and the Man Who Ate New Orleans. Ray Canata, Louisiana Eats with Poppy Tucker. Milo's Music Parlor with Kim Vu. And the revolutionary new way to buy a house in New Orleans, Unlisted Knoll. You can keep up with us on Facebook, on Twitter, and a whole bunch of other time-sucking social media as well. And all of it we call It's New Orleans. You can find photos from this show on itsneworleans.com and on our Facebook and Google Plus pages. These photos are taken by the fabulous Allison Moon. If you're listening to this on iTunes or Stitcher or some other podcast app, thank you for subscribing to us. Do one thing for us. Take a moment to rate and review us. That helps other people find us. Our show is recorded live today at Wayfair on Ferret Street, where they put fine dining into a sandwich, fine booze into a glass. Andrew Duhon is not here, who's somewhere around the country. You can find him at andrewduhon.com and see if he's in a town near you. On behalf of everybody back at INO Broadcasting around the table here at Wayfair, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Grant Morris. We'll see you back here next week on Happy Hour.